Welcome to ROM Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a weekly podcast celebrating the joys of inclusive romance. This week, your co-hosts, Melinda and Mika, will be discussing political romance as well as the enemies to lovers trope. And believe me, we have a lot to say about both of these things. So sit back and enjoy. All right, we are back. And guess what? We're not enemies.
Or lovers, actually.
Or so lovers. That. You know what, Melinda? They can't take us anywhere.
No, we are not fit for the public.
Or work. We are not safe for work.
No.
So put your earphones on. So this month's topic is all about enemies to lovers and political romance. Two topics, two tropes that I often have some difficulty with. So they're not necessarily like my favorites, but I am easily sold with good tropes and good recommendations. So
I'm gonna tell you.
Are you though?
I am.
Okay. All right. You guys heard it here first. She's gonna sell this trope. She's gonna sell me on this trope. So I have some questions for you about enemies to lovers and about political romance. So how long do they have to be fighting it out? How long do they need to be enemies? I wrote up a really quick poll on Twitter a couple weeks ago asking this exact same question, and I got a wide range of answers from 50% to 75%. No one agreed with me on my answer of a smooth 25% enemy.
Because you're wrong.
I am not wrong. I am
you're
right.
You're so wrong. That's like, I don't know. That's definitely not enemies. That's so much friends at 25%.
They're not friends at 25. They could be like the worst of enemies to each other, but at 25%, I want to see, you know, like at least a hug or like, oh my gosh, why did we just have hate sex?
Okay, I do love some hate sex, I have to tell you. But no, I mean, I voted in that poll and I was at 50%. That seems about right to me.
50% like they're thawing out toward each other, having a little snuggle time, or 50% they still dislike each other like immensely, and then from 51% onward, there's like snuggle time
you
and
have
hugging
like
it
this
out.
Formula. I'm picturing you like with this like elaborate formula where you're like charting it as you're reading it.
64%. There has been approximately 3 snuggles and some post-coitus conversation.
You know, I just like, as with all tropes, you know, I just need authors that do any trope well. So I don't really care what percentage it is. I just need anything to be, you know, explored correctly and well. Anything except bully romance, because I hate it, and it needs to die in a fire.
She loves bully romance.
I just can't handle bully romance. I hate it so much. I read a bully, I read the ultimate bully romance this past week, and it made me so mad. But I just can't stand anything like that, because I'm basically, like, screaming at it the entire time, like, why would you love that person? Like, go find somebody else.
I mean, that is, okay, what if, here's free plot bunnies again, what if the blurb was written in like this really vague way, and the bully, you think he's going to be the hero, right? But then they get pushed off of a cliff.
I'm in.
And then the real, you know, then the real other protagonist, the real love interest comes into play. Would you read that?
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for it to be bad. I was waiting for the bad part to come. I think that sounds great.
Because there are many, like, enemies to lovers books that I have read where I've been like, why? Why are we even stuck with you, you insufferable jackwagon? Like, why are we being tormented?
See, So what I love about enemies to lovers is, I guess, so first of all, I can't handle it when it's like true enemies, like, you know, mortal enemy where, I don't know, they did something horrible to them. I guess maybe I like more the frenemies too. I like banter so much. It's just the greatest thing to me when there's, you know, banter with an edge. And so then it slowly starts to have like a joking tone to it, and then it turns into actual jokes, and then, oh, it's love. That to me is
okay.
I love banter. Banter is the best.
I'm a sucker for some good banter. So, you know, okay, I can work with this. I can work with this.
I mean, mortal enemies, I can't deal with that. Like when there's actually like, I don't know, you killed my father or something. I don't know.
Something horrible. I'm an egomaniac. Oh, yeah. You gave me a Princess Bride. I just did a Princess Bride reference. I don't know who I am anymore. Okay. All right. So you definitely have your preference. I definitely have like my very perfect formula of enemies to lovers, which is very like, you know, the analogy of if you take the meat out of the freezer, do you leave it out to thaw? Do you put it in hot water or do you put it in the microwave?
Or you just, you know, order out. That's what I would do.
Okay. Ordering out is the real friends to lovers right there. I approve. I approve. Okay. So what, and the journey for you, like what makes that journey extra sweet for you? Like, does there need to be like a grand gesture that is firmly saying we are no longer enemies? Like what makes that journey especially sweet for you?
Oh, I don't know. I think a grand gesture is good. I mean, who doesn't want, okay, actually no. Enemies to lover, you need a grovel. You have to have a grovel. Like you need a really good grovel. And maybe I'm thinking that specifically because I just did a re-listen of Sarah McLean's Bare Knuckle Bastards, and Sarah is like the queen of a good grovel. But I mean, in enemies to lovers, you need a really good grovel.
Okay, I can handle that. I definitely think that good grovel is deserved. I find it hard. It's very difficult for me when I feel like they have like done something that. Because I feel like I start reading an enemies to lovers book just completely stressed out and waiting for somebody like to do like the grand fuck up where I'm like, aha, you don't deserve them. That's right. You know, you need someone better. I'm terrible.
I think you go into it in a different outlook. I go into it thinking, you know, this author is going to amaze me. And you go into it thinking, no, you're not going to convince me. You can't do it.
I know. I'm terrible. Like half of my mind is already closed. It's terrible. So let's go to like political romance. What are your thoughts on political romance just for you? How does that set for you?
Well, pre-2016, I did like seek out and read political romance occasionally. But now that the world is a trash fire, I generally don't because I just can't handle it. There's too much political anything happening all the time. And like enemies to lovers in politics romance, I can't. Reaching across the aisles in a political romance for me is just a no-go at this point. I mean, I can't imagine being okay with enemies to lovers in that kind of environment right now because I can't put myself in that place.
Same. I feel like we are so bombarded by like the issues of the day and just by everything that's going on in the world that when I open a book, like there's just no, I don't want to read a contemporary political romance. And I know, and I just wanted to mention these anthologies because while I have not read them, I haven't read them, but it's not because they aren't good, and it's not because of authors involved. It's just that I have zero interest in reading anything political that is so close to what we're dealing with today. But it's the rogue anthologies. Isn't that what they're called?
Yes. And I've read them and they are excellent. And I have to say that even though we are bombarded with it on a daily basis, honestly, they were very helpful to me to read sometimes. So I have to say that I have read them. I've read them all and I truly did love them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, sweet. I do love them. They're great.
So there you go. So if you really enjoy things like that, I think that you would probably really like the Rogue anthologies. And they have like some really heavy hitting authors.
Oh my gosh. They are amazing stories. Authors. Yeah. And they have a great lineup, great tropes, great like across the board, different just really, really, I can't recommend it enough. There's a ton of really great stories in there.
For me, political romance, I need the political to be like paranormal-ish so that maybe it brushes against the issues that we are facing today, but in a paranormal setting or fantasy or science fiction setting, because for some reason, it's that level of separation for me, but yet they're still talking about, you know, like issues about like intolerance and things of that nature. And so those I can just read all day long. So isn't that weird?
No, I mean, I can see that. I mean, it's hard to, I can't make a blanket statement saying that I don't want to read political romance because, I mean, I have a recommendation for a political romance that I love. But I mean, I don't know. It's just hard to say. I don't want to read anything reaching across the aisle, something like that. But when if it's well written and, you know, really close to the heart, I'm open to it if it's really well done. But yeah, paranormal does really great things with them too.
So I'm really excited about like some recs that I have in that vein, but I love a good paranormal romance and how it takes on politics. And paranormal romance is great for enemies to lovers too.
I mean, paranormal is great for everything. So there's that.
I mean, really. So if you don't know what you know, any trope you got, there's a paranormal romance out there for you. So, Melinda, you said that you are going to sell me on this trope with a recommendation. You said it.
Yes. And my first recommendation I am ridiculously excited about. So, Entertainment Weekly did a cover reveal a couple weeks ago, and I was so excited. I was, oh my gosh, I knew I had to read it specifically for this podcast. So I'm not sure if you've read Kennedy Ryan before, but she won a Rita this year on that historic night when Kennedy and M. Malone won the first Ritas to be won by Black women.
Work!
I know. And then also, you know, Nisha Sharma was the first South Asian author to win a Rita, which...
Yes!
Yes, let's not get started on, you know, how ridiculous it is in 2019 to have those first, but...
That's a whole other podcast, yes, the conversation.
They're very well-deserved wins. But Kennedy is amazingly talented. I've read a ton of her stuff, and I love her work. And so this is called The Kingmaker, and it's political romance, and it opens with the female protagonist. Her name is Lennox. And she is a member of the Yanapai Apache Nation. And at the beginning, we meet her during this like really beautiful, culturally important sunrise dance. And it's this dance where she turns from a girl into a woman. And it's super obvious how important her culture is to her. And it's just really amazing, like immediately that first chapter, like I was drawn in and Kennedy does this like amazing world building right there to like get the reader involved and see how important like her culture is to her.
Oh, wow.
She just, I can't even tell you how much her prose is just beautiful. Anyway, so then we get this like 4-year time jump, and we see Lennox protesting a pipeline that's being laid on their lands. And that's where she meets the male protagonist, and his name is Maxim. And he is the son of an oil tycoon who is laying that pipeline. And
oh, so, man. Wow.
Yeah. Major drama right away. But the twist is that Maxim is like genuinely a good guy. He tries to save Lennox at the protest from like being bombarded with these rubber bullets, and they both get arrested. But like, she doesn't know what his name is. So she doesn't know that he's the son of that oil tycoon.
Ooh.
So they flirt while they're in jail, and then they go their separate ways.
My favorite part of this is that they flirt while they're in jail. Yes.
Yeah, it was super cute because she's only 17 at this point, and he's like, I don't know, a couple years older. And it was really cute flirting, but not like inappropriate flirting.
Right.
So then there's another time jump, and they meet again, like out of nowhere in another country. And they have this like super hot 1-week fling where she still doesn't know who he is.
This is like got to win the record of like the longest reveal.
Yes.
You know, like the longest time that a character has ever hidden their truth, like, you know, maybe so, like, inadvertently.
But the thing is still, like, while I'm reading it, I'm totally into it. Like, he doesn't seem like he's a bad guy. Like, he's genuinely.
Right.
He wants to change the world, in that he, so his dad is like this evil oil tycoon, but he wants to change the world by climate change. Like, he is going literally to Antarctica. I think it's Antarctica. To do like this research into climate change. It's just amazing. So then I'm not going to give any much more detail because I don't want to give any spoilers, because this all happens literally in the first couple of chapters.
Okay.
The reason why it's political is because his brother is a senator, and then Lennox goes on to become a political, they call her a kingmaker because she works on campaigns and gets people elected to help the indigenous population who are going to help those lands and everything.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, so she, Kennedy Ryan does this amazing job of like weaving all of these important topics like climate change and the indigenous populations like throughout, but at the same time, like they're super hot scenes and like the romance is there and like, it's just beautiful. Like, the narrative is beautiful. There's these social issues. Oh, I can't even recommend it enough.
You sold me.
And it's so little research, Mika. Like, she did so much research to, like, know all this about climate change and, you know, the indigenous populations. But I wasn't bored in any way.
That's awesome.
Oh, but I have to warn everybody that it is a cliffhanger. But okay, but Kennedy was super smart. This first book releases like October 27th, and book two releases November 18th. So there's like only 3 weeks between those two releases. So it's not even that painful.
Okay. Okay. So
I think that was incredibly smart of her. And she's letting everyone know ahead of time that it's a cliffhanger. So like, romance readers don't have to freak out.
I know, right?
But I highly
recommend. Ready. We're like, cliffhanger, no.
I know, but I'm letting everyone know, cliffhanger, but, you know, 3 weeks apart, I think everyone can handle it.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I am sold. This sounds really great.
And then everyone needs to read her backlist, because she has amazing books. All of them are beautiful.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. All right. So, and that's called The Kingmaker?
Yes, the first book is The Kingmaker, and that is out on October 27th.
And guess what? The next book comes out on November 18th, so you all can read it then, during Enemies to Lovers and Political Romance Month.
Yes, it's really perfect. And November is Indigenous Peoples Month, so it's like the ideal book for this.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. So my recommendation is actually a surprise, surprise, a paranormal. And it is Heart of Darkness, I think is the name of the, I'm really blanking on the name of the series, but the book I want to recommend is
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Going Under is book three. I know, and I did, surprise, surprise, read the series in order, but I wanted to highlight book three because...
It's the Bound by Magic series, right?
Thank you. Yes. I just realized that there's a whole bunch of spoilery information I can't give. But on the bright side, there's like a PR person who is kind of taking the fight using words and politics to kind of help get things like not back the way that they were, but at least they're basically fighting against an organization that believes that those who are humans are above those who are supernaturals. And so now people are having to work together. And that book has this character is giving different speeches and she's writing speeches, and you kind of get to see the political stuff happening where you're getting to see argument for and against. I mean, ooh, Lauren Dane is freaking brilliant the way that she wrote this series, and in particular this book, because when you are reading it, I'm telling you, when you're reading it, it is not that far from issues of the day. And I read this book like several years ago. And so to be reading, to just think about like what was written in this book and kind of where we are now politically, it's like, wow, that is really appropriate. So it's a really great book. You do want to start with Heart of Darkness first.
Heart of Darkness. I haven't read any of the other ones yet, though.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I need you to do this. I need you to read the other ones.
I mean, I love Lauren Dane. She's so talented.
So I need you to read these other books because I'm having to be so careful and tiptoe so that I'm not giving away a whole bunch of spoilery information. And if you have not read it, do not even read the blurb. So, and I literally just thought of it as I was talking about the book. Like, oh yeah, I can't talk about this. Nope, can't talk about this either. So what are some of your other, like, do you have some other favorite enemies to lovers or political romances?
So the other one I have is by Carla de Guzman. Have you ever heard of Romance Class on Twitter?
I have, but tell our awesome listeners what that is.
I love Romance Class. It is this hashtag. It's hashtag Romance Class, which was organized by Mina V. Esguerra. Which I may be pronouncing her last name wrong, so I apologize for that. But I love Mina. She's amazing. But it's a community of Filipino writers and readers. And basically, she organized this, I think it was like 2015 or 2016. And then ever since then, she basically has helped them. She organizes them together and helps them publish. And it's a huge organization.
Oh.
It's just,
oh my gosh,
it's super amazing. They have a website. But so under this hashtag, I have found some really great books. I have loved a ton of them. And one of the authors that I found that I really like, I've read a couple of hers, is Carla de Guzman. I really like her books. So this one is called The Queen's Game. And so political, you know, I thought the queen, very good.
Yes.
I think that if readers like Alyssa Cole's A Princess in Theory, I think that this would be a good book for them because I think that it's kind of similar in that vein. So this is Nina, the female protagonist, is an estranged princess it's a fictionalized kingdom in the Philippines. And she returns home after the death of her father. And her aunt doesn't approve of her because she's got like this scandalous past. So she has to fake a relationship. Who doesn't love a fake relationship?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Keep going.
And Nina is the type of female protagonist that we love. She's like super fierce and she embraces her sexuality. So, I mean, it's exactly up your alley. You would really like it. So it kind of explores how the monarchy would mix with the Filipino culture. And I just really like, it's a novella. And I just really like the way she explores the culture and then the the male protagonist, Felipe. He's kind of soft, kind of like a cinnamon roll type, kind of beta. But I just really like the combination of the two main characters.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I like the political maneuverings too. I mean, it's a novella, so it doesn't get super in depth with it, but I just really like her style.
Oh, that's really awesome. Okay. So, and we are, for those who do not know what Romance Class is, if you are looking for the website, we will definitely make sure that we put that in the show notes. So fear not, we got you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will look through that hashtag on Twitter sometimes just to look to see if there are any randomly new authors that I haven't heard of. But I've definitely found some new ones that I like on there all the time. I'll just click through there sometimes. It's great.
This is sounding really good. Again, hooking me up with the good books. So I have a recommendation. It's a double. It's a two-hitter. So Beastly Passions and Beastly Desires by Nikki Winter. Have you read those?
Oh, I have. I read the first one.
It's so good.
It was really good.
Like, really good. So the first one, and we'll make sure that the title, that the series order is correct in the show notes, but my little scattered brain, I've forgotten which one goes first. But the first book is about a woman who is just in a terrible situation, and someone wants her to be his mate. She's not here for it. She runs away to protect her child, and she goes to this other pack. And so it's not necessarily enemies to lovers, but it's more like distrustful to lovers. They don't really trust each other that much. In fact, she holds the opening paragraph. She's out here like holding the gun on him because she doesn't know who on the pack alpha, because she doesn't want him to like hurt her or her child. And she's not here to take any shit. So, and then there's lots of banter and like kind of found family. But my favorite part is just the relationship between like the two brothers and how much they just kind of talk shit about each other.
And the pack maneuverings and everything was really interesting to me. That's one of the things I really like about paranormal, is the different maneuverings that they do within different packs and everything.
Yeah, it's really very fascinating. And
I guess it would be pride, because I think they're lions, are they? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, they're not even wolves. I think they are lions. Read the book. Yeah, I think they're lions. And then book two, you've not read book two, right?
I have not.
So, you know, like how in book one, he's like all afraid of he talks about like how the mom came to marry their dad, and that like the dad was like a super fierce warrior in their pride. And how he used to be known as like, you know, had some like moniker that he was known by. So the second book is actually goes back in time. And so we get to see how the parents met and how they fell in love with each other. And that is true enemies to lovers.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Now I want to read that.
And she's like she's basically was sold to, like, oh my God, I'm blanking on my words. What is it, you know, like when it's like a marriage of convenience, but that's not the term I'm looking for. But she's basically like arranged marriage. Oh my gosh, thank you. So it was like political maneuvering and arranged marriage. She is like very shy and nervous, kind of. He is like the scourge of lions everywhere. And it has a lot of like that morality chain as well. So she kind of eventually keeps him from being like a murderizing bastard, which is my thing.
I'm intrigued by morality chains, because ever since I've heard that term, now I'm always like, oh, I think I read. And now I'm always like looking out for those now.
Heck yeah. That's one of my favorite tropes within tropes. You guys, we got you covered. So I think you really would enjoy it. So it's a really quick, funny story about those books. I was actually demonstrating like some book apps to my local like blindness group. And I'm like, I love to read, and here's this book. And I hooked up my phone to a Bluetooth speaker, and all of a sudden you just hear Beastly Passions, Verochka Pride, book one. And I was like, we'll go to the next book. Beastly Desire. I was like, oh, okay. So I read romance, you guys.
My you favorite told me that story before because it makes me laugh to no end.
So yeah, I'm trying to get my friends to read Beastly Desires and Beastly Passions. Do you have any other ones for us?
I do. I have one more, and it is political romance. And so this was one I read pre-2016 by an author that I really like, and she's gotten more popular now, Chanel Cleeton. She has written in a whole bunch of different subgenres. She has a political, I think it's a trilogy, called Capital Confessions. And it's really good. And I don't know if I would like it as much now, just because, again, political, don't love as much anymore. But so it's about three sisters. But the first one that I read was called Flirting with Scandal. And it was really cute. So the first one is about this one daughter whose name is Jackie, and she's the illegitimate daughter of one of the most influential senators. And so she grew up with, like, all around the politics and the scandals and everything. And she wants to, like, you know, launch her own career, but, like, not based on him, on her dad.
Right.
And so Then the male protagonist he's working on a campaign for the Senate. And so, of course, they fall for each other and they have an affair, and it could cost the female protagonist her career. And there's, like, this blog that, like, posts all this dramatic scandal stuff. And it's very dramatic, but it is really good.
Oh, sweet. Okay. I like the title of the series.
Yeah, and the blog, like, goes throughout the trilogy, and so you there's all this scandal going on, and I did really like how in the first one, the couple, like, if there were any misunderstandings, there was no, like, dramatic, like, there was no melodrama over it. It was, you know, they talked about it, and they...
Whoa.
Like, I know.
Whoa.
They resolved it pretty quickly. Yeah. So I really did like that. And I really like her writing style too. She's written, like, some kind of new adult, and then this, like, the romance. And now she's kind of moved a little bit more into women's fiction, which I know. But I really did like these.
Okay. Sweet. I keep wanting to say Capital Confessions, like, Capital Confessions. Like, this sounds really great.
Yeah, I really did like these. And then, yeah, I just love her stuff. Like, her older stuff, I really liked a lot.
So I have one more, and this is not a book that I have read, so I like to come out of the gate saying that. However, the excerpt of the book is hysterical, and I think it fits enemies to lovers, and it fits romantic comedy. It is called Feud by Phyllis Bourne. Have you heard of this book?
I have heard of it, and I've read it.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, sweet. I feel like you probably told me that, and my brain just, like, forgot.
I did. That's okay.
So it looks so good. It's basically...
It was really good. It's really, really funny.
And it's basically Alexandra, I think that her grandmother has just passed away, and so she has inherited a house. And then across the street, or next door, I believe, is the grandson of the other person that I guess the grandmother was feuding with. And isn't it that they have to make whoever gets the other to move first, like, wins $500,000?
I forget how much it is, but yes. And so they don't get it unless the other person leaves, I think it was. And it's tied to that inheritance. It was hilarious, though. Like, if you read it, you would be laughing the entire time.
So I want to read this because it just sounds hysterical. And I'm going to link to it, but it was like, there was an article that came out shortly after the Rita Awards. And it was like 80 books by Black authors that you should read, or 80 Black romances that you should read. And Feud was listed in one of them. And I laughed so so hard.
Yeah, each chapter starts out with a saying, like this one, the grass isn't greener on the other side, it's just fertilized with loss and bullshit. Like, it's hilarious, Mika. It's so good.
Read Feud.
Yeah.
I will read Feud. Read Feud and tell us about it.
It's really good. I think I read it after that article, actually, because I was like, I have to read this.
I feel like I was in your DMs like, oh my God, have you seen this book?
Yeah. And I was like, yes.
So read this book. It sounds like it's really great. I'm going to read this book because I want to know if you can, like, can you keep the money and get the happily ever after, or can you, like, just keep the money and then, you know, ditch the dude and get a battery operated boyfriend? Like, how does this work?
It's very clear what you need to do, and it's just so good. And it's a really good length. Like, it's not super long. It's like a really good length for a romantic comedy, and it's true romantic comedy. Like, it's actually funny.
Okay. And it's a romantic comedy where they do not separate at the end.
What?
So
why would they separate at the end?
Because some movies, like, they do that to you. You know, like, they call it, like, a romantic comedy.
I was like, what romance has, like, torn you apart? What the hell?
The same one where the enemies to lovers were still enemies at the 90% mark.
Oh, poor Mika. You're scarred.
I am. I'm so bitter.
Phyllis Bourne would not do that to you.
No, she would not. So I put my trust in you, Phyllis Bourne. I know you won't do me wrong. I know it.
It's a great book. You should definitely read it.
If you guys have any great, like, enemies to lovers or political romances, or want to tell us, like, what really gets you interested in those, like, please let us know. And if you have
strong feelings about, yes, like, the percentage of your enemies, because Mika is clearly wrong.
25% is perfect.
No, it's, yes, at least 50.
You're wrong.
No, clearly wrong.
Do you have any, did you have any reviewers that you wanted to mention by chance?
I did. I had, so there's a podcast that I listen to. They have obviously a Twitter, Black Chick Lit is the name of the podcast they do. It's a great podcast that I love. They have a Twitter handle. It's @BlackChickLit. And so we'll have that in the show notes. But I highly recommend their podcast. If obviously you're listening to this one, I'm assuming you like podcasts. It's a great podcast. I love them. And so it's ran by two women, Danny and Em, and they're great. I love them. They usually read a book and then talk about it, but sometimes they talk about other random romance stuff. I love them. They're great.
Awesome. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm waiting for my 25% crowd.
No, 50. At least.
At least. Okay, fine. 45%?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. So, yes, please argue with us in the...
argue with us. Get in our mentions.
Please do. And until next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Rom Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance one trope at a time. If you like weekly recommendations for inclusive romance, please take a moment to subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at Rom Book Pod. That's RomBkPod. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, happy reading.